ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC AFL Daily for your Monday. Of course, it's AFL Monday time with Corbin and Ben and the Carlton champion Mark Murphy, who joins us in studio.
Corby, the ABC AFL Daily podcast, 5 drops a week, 5 unique flavours. We are soaring up the rankings. Like, we are
up and to the right.
We've got a rocket pack strapped to our backs at the moment.
At least we think so.
No, we do. We do. The numbers prove it.
People are saying it.
What they did tell me, this surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it didn't surprise me given how I live. Men under the age of 50 are the least likely to recommend a podcast to someone else. And I thought, oh no, that's a concern. That's the majority of our audience.
Mm.
So what do we need?
We need the vulnerable people to step out and break the statistic.
Yep. Be a friend, tell a friend.
Yep.
About our podcast.
Correct. Just don't be a statistic. Break out of the mold. Don't be part of that vulnerable group that doesn't recommend a podcast to a friend. And as I like to say, tell your friends and tell the people you don't like about ABC AFL Daily.
WhatsApp, footy chat, whatever it is, text message.
Instagram share.
Just do it.
TikTok.
Yep. Whatever it is.
Yep. But carry a pigeon, whatever it is, as a way to tell somebody about it and avoid falling into that that dreaded group where you don't want to be is the horrible statistic.
Let's get into the show for Monday night, should we?
He's going to have to kick across his body from no more than 15 metres out after Jack Henry goals at one end. Cripps puts the Blues back in front. Oh, captain, my captain. What a moment to take back control with 71 seconds remaining in the match.
Look, I would love to see James Heard back. I think Dean Solomon summed it up perfectly, that he's in a position now that he's healthy enough to put his hand up to be available within a football club.
Turner kicks deep towards full forward. Marking contest. No one able to gather it. Cozzy Pickett buzzes through. Knocks it into the pocket. Bouncing ball. Gathers eventually. Swings a shot on goal. He couldn't. Pickett from the pocket.
No,
a special.
Wow.
The Wizard of Coz.
We got taught a footy lesson today from a really, obviously, a powerful team. And a team that's playing some really good footy, especially at this ground. Then they're hard to stop. So, really disappointed with the result. Yeah, we probably took a couple steps backwards.
On 774 ABC Melbourne,
ABC Sport Digital,
and ABC Listen,
this is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben.
That it is. Round 12 done. We got a whole lot to chop up. A new coach at Bomberland, but the same old Dons on the field. What is going to happen in their coaching department? Of course, James Heard, his spectre looms large over the football club. Is the debate back on about who the best player in the competition is? And everybody wants to tell you why the Fremantle Dockers are the premiership favourites. So here I am to tell you why the Dockers can't win the flag. All of that coming up today right here on AFL Monday on ABC Melbourne. Great to have you with us wherever you tuned in. The talkback number 1300 222 774. Corbin and Ben, along with the Carlton champion Mark Murphy in the house. My name's Corbin Middlemass. Ben Cameron's here. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Corbin. It's great to be here because I roll up and I've got you an Essendon fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Mark Murphy, Carlton 300 gamer, former Carlton captain, Carlton fan. I've got clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with both of your footy clubs, just the laughing stock of the competition.
Why are we laughing?
What about the Baggers?
The Baggers are flying.
That's a 300 gamer, the Carlton captain, the man the coaches voted the premier player in the game in 2011. Mark Murphy's here. And the Baggers are 3-0. It's the Josh Fraser freight trains up and going.
Yeah. No, we don't mention trains around here, Corbin, from all those years ago, of the Teague train previously. It's not the Fraser train. I heard you mention that on Friday night. And I just want that just to be gobbled straight back up into your mouth, please. But now the Baggers are flying. Joker, to your right. You're kidding, are you?
Well, I mean, you can't even get the coaching process right. You've appointed Adam Simpson, who might coach again. So what's he doing in there? Just taking people's IP?
Well, he's probably. He's probably doing a bit of that as well, isn't he? But no, I think they've got great football people on that panel. So what more do you need? And especially when you've got Josh Fraser there, who's probably going to take the job with both hands.
Well, you think he might win the job. Does Diesel need to be consulting to the coaching selection panel?
Well, he's one of the football directors there, the football director. So they've got Rob Priestley, who has achieved everything in the business world. So you've got him as your president, and you've got Graham Wright.
Yep. That was the one that surprised me, to be honest. That I would have thought if Priestley and Williams probably swapped positions, I thought that Williams, as the football director, should probably be reporting from the process to the president, who then takes it to the board. But instead, the Priestley's on the selection panel, and then the conduit to the board is Greg Williams, which sort of feels almost the other way around.
Do you need four genuine football people, though? So you've got Adam Simpson, you've got Chris Davies, and you've got Graham Wright. Do you need Diesel Williams as well as part of that, or you don't want someone from a... That was business world to point. Be probably to the side of that, who might see something different.
If I was the football director on a board and we were picking a coach, I would think, you know what? That's probably my remit, that we're trying to find the coach of a football club, and yet Greg Williams isn't on it. The talkback number is 1-300-222-774. We'll get to Carlton. There's so much to chop up on that front. But this is 774 ABC Melbourne and, of course, ABC Radio across the state of Victoria. And you pick up the Herald Sun this morning, Ben, and what do you know? The back page of the Herald Sun is what we talked about yesterday here on ABC Sport. You were involved in both of these interviews, and naturally a lot of it centres around what's happening at Essendon.
It certainly does. So the question tonight is James Heard the man who should coach Essendon? I think that is what everyone is asking, and it's what people are standing around the water cooler speaking about at the moment. Corbin, you have some information that you believe that it is not a fait accompli, that this isn't going to be a boat race where James Heard is going to be appointed as the next Essendon coach.
So I'm not the only one saying this in the football landscape, but it does feel like, certainly since last Tuesday, this story sped up at such a pace. And really what the Bombers were looking for is to take a big, deep breath. And my understanding, talking to people at Essendon, the same way that has been reported elsewhere, is that that's not necessarily a layup. So as much as everyone sort of felt like, oh, this is predetermined, it's, you know, it's all set up for James Heard, and certainly the series of decisions that were made by Andrew Welsh under his presidency would probably have you believe that this is heading down an old Essendon path, and that James Heard was coming back in, and some of the way that or some of the rhetoric that he had at the press conference when he was talking about the dismissal of Brad Scott last Tuesday, and yet multiple people that I've spoken to today at Essendon have essentially said not so fast. Some of them would go as far as to say, hey, I don't think James Heard will get the job. Others are essentially saying, yeah, this will absolutely be a process, and this is far from predetermined that James Heard's going to be the next senior coach of Essendon. So, and it feels like that's pretty consistent if you put your finger in the wind across the footy landscape, that at the start everyone kind of rushed to the conclusion, and we felt like we sped through multiple steps on Tuesday alone. And it feels like a big, deep breath and not so fast on the James Heard front.
So what I would say to that, though, is of course they're going to say that. They're going to try and convince the footy world that this is not a boat race. And as you mentioned, we spoke to Troy Chaplin yesterday, who was the Melbourne caretaker last year. If you haven't seen the back of the Herald Sun today, which was the quotes from our interview yesterday, asking him about whether he would have any concerns on going into an Essendon process.
It's hard to say at the moment. I think Essendon need to work out what they want to do and what process they want to run through. So until they determine what that is, and whether that's they want to go with James Heard or whether they want to run a proper process, I think they have to work that out first before you can sort of declare yourself an interest in it. So until that comes up and you sort of understand where they sit, I think for me it's more just worrying about what I'm doing now and developing as a coach.
1-300-222-774, the talkback number. Troy Chaplin was really the Josh Fraser and Dean Solomon of last year. He was the caretaker that came in at Melbourne when, obviously, Simon Goodwin parted ways with, this is the modern term, with the Melbourne Football Club mid-season. In the very same hour here on ABC Sport, Brett Montgomery, who is a highly touted assistant coach, was asked a similar question about whether he would harbour concerns about the Essendon job. And what that would look like.
Monty, just to go back, would you harbour concerns about entering the Essendon process?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, someone in my shoes who doesn't have either Ken or Horse or even Simo's sort of credentials, you know, I mean, it probably sounds a bit odd that you'd balk or you'd be hesitant, but I just think that's the way it is. You know, like an opportunity is an opportunity, but if it doesn't feel real or it doesn't feel authentic, it does make it hard to consider.
Is Heard the man to coach Essendon? 1-300-222-774, the talkback number. This is AFL Monday on 774 ABC Melbourne and across the state of Victoria. Is James Heard the man to coach the Bombers?
It does feel very Vegemite at the moment, doesn't it? Like, love it or hate it. Like, it feels like the people are very much like, look, I do not want her. Definitely not. Couldn't have him. Not a chance. All the people are carrying signs saying, bring him home, bring Hurdy home, get James back. Like, it feels like there's not people who are sitting in the middle on the fence. It's very much one side or the other.
Mm. Michael Long is pretty strong, wasn't he, in his endorsement of James Herbert? What I would say to these other coaches is, well, back yourself in. Go put yourself into the process and back yourself in that you're going to be better than what James Herbert is going to be preparing himself.
Yeah, but if you believe that he's going to get the job, irrespective of how you present, you wouldn't want to waste your time.
Have Essendon come out and said, though, that we want to run through a process?
They have. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised though if there's moves behind the scene to say, hey, let's see who we can get. So what happens if they come back and they've got John Longmire, for example? Do you still run through a process, or do you essentially say at that point, we got our guy?
It should be a decision tree, I think, there, where can we get John Longmire? If the answer is yes, job done. Move on. I mean, I ran the numbers today, Corbin. There are...
Do you just appoint John Longmire just on purely what he's done in the game?
I would. He's not going to.
You don't need to
go
through a process and ask him what he thinks about the list and what he would do at the football club.
I wouldn't worry about it, particularly not with where they're at.
I actually think they're at a point that there's very few people that could actually placate the fan base, given how riled up the Essendon community is already. I feel like John Longmire is one guy that, even if you're the most hardcore herd supporter, you can't really say much about that, can you? Like, I think if they come back with a senior assistant that spent time in a system that doesn't really have the runs on the board, whereas even if you desperately want James Herd, if John Longmire gets appointed, like, the guy's got a 63% winning record, 14 seasons, 12 final series, coached 5 grand finals.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best guy available out there if they get him. Almost feel like that would be the one guy that would almost keep everyone happy. I don't even think Ken Hinckley or Adam Simpson does that. Like, I think that would still be... pushback from the herd supporters out there if Essendon went in that direction.
There are four living people that have coached 5 grand finals in 14 years. Malcolm Blight, Alistair Clarkson, Mick Malthouse, Kevin Sheedy, and John Longmire. Should be five living people. Blight last coached in 2001, Malthouse in 2015, and Sheedy in 2013. So I think that's enough that I'd be willing to say. I think I'm willing to offer him the job. If he says no, then you go through the process.
Corbin and Ben with the Carlton champion, Mark Murphy, in studio. This is AFL Monday on 774 ABC Melbourne. Don from Altona is the first of our callers on 1300 222 774. What do you reckon, Don?
Good evening, everyone. I think that James Herd was a terrific footballer, maybe one of Essendon's greatest. Someone commented recently that maybe next to John Coleman. Doesn't necessarily make him a good coach. One of my close friends was coached at the Williamstown VFA Seagulls by Ted Whitten. And he said, Ted Whitten was my worst coach ever.
Did he delist him though, Don?
Mr. Football.
Yeah.
A bridge named after him. That's pretty special.
Mm.
But great footballer, not necessarily a good coach. And I think Erdie's in the same vein.
Good on you, Don. Appreciate your call. So 1300 222 774 is the talkback number.
Yeah, keep your calls coming. I mean, if it's not John Longmire, I mean, you look at the likes of Corey Enright, who's obviously at St Kilda. James Kelly seems to be a name that keeps coming up, who's an assistant at Geelong at the moment.
Yeah.
The likes of Jamie Graham.
So these are all great names and great options that in any ordinary process, like for Carlton's senior coaching job, I think they'd all be great candidates. But I just think given the climate that there is at Essendon.
Do you think they're purely based off the supporter base?
Yeah.
So not being able to unite the football club and go, well, we're going to run through a process.
Yep.
And if James Herd is a part of that process and these other coaches are as well, and they go down the other path of going with a Corey Enright, that people at Essendon won't be impressed.
We've seen it already, that it hasn't been able to unite the club and the agitators that have been there behind the scenes when it comes to Brad Scott and Ben Rutten. You know, Rutten was untried. Scott at least had a stint behind him. He's a very strong leader, and yet even he wasn't able to keep out all the noise and the parties at play.
I heard it put like this, like it's the itch that they almost have to scratch, isn't it? Like it's like, let's find out, and it either works or it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work,
at least we know. I don't subscribe to that.
No, neither do I necessarily. I don't think he's the best man for the job right now. But the point is that if they don't get John Longmire and then they appoint one of those other assistant coaches, it will go on. It will continue.
All that tells you, though, that if you agitate long enough behind the scenes, that eventually you'll get the way that you want. And for the Herd supporters, that's a return of James Herd to the coach's box. Steve in Frankston, the next of our callers, 1-300-222-774. Hello, Steve.
Oh, yeah, g'day, Corbin. G'day, Ben.
G'day, Steve.
Yeah, I look, I agree with what the fella from Altona said about, you know, like James Herd was a champion player. I mean, there's been other greats there at Essendon, like Dick Reynolds was another great. I mean, when I was a kid, there was a family of Essendon supporters we knew, you know, when I was in primary school, and they had a framed picture of Dick Reynolds, you know, in the lounge room. And, you know, and I think you can't take anything away from James Herd as on the field as a champion player. But if I was an Essendon player, I'd be very concerned if James Herd was going to be the new coach, because just given his track history with the peptide saga and, you know, attending those meetings, those IPO seminars with David Evans about investing in peptides and those types of things. I mean, you've got to draw a line somewhere when it comes to a conflict of duty and interest, because surely, you know, someone like that would have a duty to the players. And certainly they shouldn't put their own interests ahead of players in a financial sense. And I'd be concerned about that if I was a player, because I wouldn't want someone who maybe is looking outside and trying to maybe profit from certain activities, when really it's the interests of the players that should be paramount.
Steve, appreciate your call. That I know there will be a chorus of people out there, as there will be people that are hardcore Herd supporters. There's going to be people that really can't move on from the events that happened 10 years ago, and I understand that, given what a catastrophic event was. It was, obviously, in the club's history. I actually think even if you're making a case against James Herd, and not that, yeah, that's not where I start out as my premise, but it's where I end up as my conclusion. So I wouldn't be voting for him if I was on a panel, or at least of what we know on face value. Sure, I'd like to hear him present like I would all these decorated coaches, but I actually think you can make a case against James Herd even post the supplement saga. When you look at just the last 10 years and the gap that exists in his footy resume, given he's done such little coaching in that time at the elite level, he's basically had a 10-week run as an assistant to Mark McVay, and that's the only time we've seen him in an AFL footy department in 10 years.
Just a small thing as well. One thing that has been widely overlooked, I think, is that James was actually never an assistant coach, period. He came from on the couch to be the Essendon coach. He was doing the TV show. Like, he never served an apprenticeship
under
Cheadie,
didn't he?
No.
Not as an assistant.
As an assistant.
Okay.
So, apart from his 10-week period at GWS, he's never actually been an assistant, only the senior coach.
Mark Murphy's in the house. This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben on 774 ABC Melbourne. Peter from Balaclava on 1-300-222-774. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Corbin. Look, my view as a mad Essendon supporter is that Essendon should do the sensible thing, which is to just have a normal coaching process. Open it up to anybody, have a good panel, you know, in Essendon people, independent people, as most clubs do, and Essendon did last time. Everybody who wants to be a candidate just presents their case and convinces them. Now, all this posturing that Herd has been doing through the media, that Hinkley has been doing through the media, I mean, Hinkley, I'm not going to apply if Herd does. Got to be kidding. He's not the person for the job, if that's what he thinks.
Who do you think?
It's a normal process, and anybody has to convince the panel that they're the person for the job.
Do you have a preferred way? I mean, I know what you're saying, Peter. You'd rather a process, and whoever they come up with, they come up with. But is there someone that you would like to see coach the Bombers?
No, I want to see them assess people. And just remember what people are saying about Herd also. If you discount the 2015 season, where he wasn't himself, the club wasn't himself, and they had a poor record, if you discount that, his winning record is 55%, which is better than a lot of coaches around. So he's not a bad coach. And he also, as Cameron just said, when he was appointed as Essendon coach, he had no experience as a coach. And for 3 years, he lifted that club. When he got rubbed out in 2014, we were 14-3, okay, with a very okay side, but not a great side, because he got the club to work.
Peter,
he got the players to play for the club.
Peter, appreciate your call. 1-300-222-774, the talkback number.
He was all over it, Peter. I like it. He's got his numbers, his research. He's a deep Essendon fan. A good call from Peter. They can keep them coming as well. You've told us that Fremantle can't win the flag. Are you going to tell us why they can't win the flag?
Yeah. Is now the time?
Yep.
Let's do it. 1-300-222-774, the talkback number. AFL Monday, Corbin and Ben with Mark Murphy, the Carlton champion, in the house. Feels like today's the day. Everyone's basically said, hey, Fremantle on top of the ladder, they're a game clear. So essentially they're premiership favourites. And what they are is effectively three games clear in the top two. And we know how important the top two is, obviously, for a team based in Western Australia in particular, all the advantages that come with it, the two home finals and so on and so forth. And I sell it in a headline-grabbing fashion, which is why they can't win the flag. This is why they would be a huge statistical outlier if ultimately the Dockers go on to win the premiership. Fremantle are the sixth youngest team in the competition and the seventh least experienced. In recent years, the Brisbane Lions were the third oldest team in the competition in 24 and 25 when they won the premiership. Collingwood were the third oldest team ever in the history of the game to win the premiership in 2023. And the oldest team in the history of the game were Geelong in 2022. If you go, so that's recent sample size trending towards older teams. In the last 17 years, the premiers have been top six for age in terms of oldest teams in 13 of the last 17 years. So there's only four outliers in that time that haven't been top six for age. Melbourne in 21, a big drought-breaking premiership. Richmond in 17 and 19. And then the Western Bulldogs in 2014 are the only outliers in the last 17 years. So that's what the Dockers are hoping to try and replicate and be just the fifth team in the last 18 years. So you might be out there thinking, okay, maybe they can do that. Maybe they can be the fifth team in that time. Fremantle's average age last weekend was 25 years and 163 days. Since 1979, so in 48 years, if Fremantle won a premiership last weekend, they would be the third youngest team in 48 years to win a premiership. The only younger teams that have done it than Fremantle, the 1992 West Coast Eagles and the 1987 Carlton Football Club. They're younger than
the Baby Bombers.
They're younger than the Hawks in 2008. They're younger than the Bulldogs in 2016. And they're younger than the Baby Bombers in 1993 in the way that they're presently constructed. If you go back even further, across the 25 oldest premiership teams ever in the history of the game, so the 25 oldest premiership teams, 13 of them have come in the last 25 years. So this is a competition that has been trending older for a long period of time, so much so that to try and find the other 12 oldest teams out of the top 25, they are spread across the first 105 years of the game. So that goes to show that this competition is trending older like never before, that experience counts, and we've seen that year on year. And so for Fremantle to win it, this would be a huge statistical outlier that they would have to be essentially the third youngest premiership team in 48 years for them to go all the way and convert this year. They haven't got a lot of finals experience, period, in recent times. So in the last 4 years, Murph, the only final they played in was last year against the Gold Coast Suns, where they lost at home. Other than that, you got to go way back to 2022, where they made a semi-final run, lost to Collingwood. And I was looking through that team today, and there's about 10 guys that aren't even there anymore. So there's been heavy turnover from that point on. So as much as everyone wants to sell you Fremantle, and I know Fremantle supporters will be thinking, oh, this guy doesn't believe in us, he's a pessimist, I'm trying to keep the expectations low. Fremantle fans should be thanking me tonight for saying the reasons why. Effectively, I think that we probably shouldn't be getting as carried away with the Dockers as what people have been with their record that it is at the moment, with an 11-game win streak and sitting a game clear on top. Mm.
Can I ask you this? The rules of the game, does that make things more a young man's game?
Yeah.
And I look at the way in which the last touch between the arcs and just the way in which the game's officiated with a man on the mark. The game's quicker, it's more predisposed to faster athletes, really, and more skillful based rather than thinking.
And youth, yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to know what the other age of these, the age demographics of the other teams in that top six are. But so Fremantle are obviously pretty young. I think Hawthorn would be pretty young. Melbourne are top six. They're pretty young. So is the tide starting to change?
Yeah.
Kyle from Endeavour Hills on 1-300-222-774. What have you got for us, Kyle?
Just a thought, Corby. The statistic you were giving there about 13 of the recent 25 oldest clubs to win the premiership, is it not correlated with players tending to go deep into the careers now with technology, sports recovery, etc.? I just don't think that's a really thorough correlation that you can draw.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's causation. I think it's just correlation that Corbs has come up with there, Kyle, perhaps.
Okay, well, if you look at it the other way, so who are the oldest teams in the competition? All the other contenders. Hawthorn, Geelong.
Are Hawthorn old, are they?
Brisbane Lions. All these teams are top six for age. So they are the only team, along with all the other developing teams, that are hanging out in the bottom six in terms of age. So they're down there. The other bottom six teams in age are like Richmond, West Coast, Essendon, for example.
One thing that can happen with those age profiles, though, is you can go from being in the bottom five to the top five in 1 year.
It's
like it can change really quickly. Like it's not, they'll sort of move into the middle six next year. The year after, they'll be in the top six. Like it can flip really quickly.
We could see that with Collingwood. Yeah. I think that could be turned on its head. Where they've got six over genuine over 30s, like deep into their 30s
and
too.
If four or five of them go, that they'll be really young all of a sudden as well. This is a good text from Michael. I recall when Hawthorn was looking for a coach in 2004, many of us supporters wanted Gary Ayres and were disappointed when a relatively unknown Alistair Clarkson was appointed at the time. Essendon need to get the best person for the job. That's a good point. And it was Jason Dunstall and the crew that appointed him at that point of time. And we know the success that he went on to have. Cam has texted in as well. Hi, team. Is Scott Pendlebury any chance of being the next Carlton coach?
Ooh.
Thanks. Zero, I would say. And I just wanted to bring that up in the sense that why an apprenticeship is so important. So I spoke about James Hurd in the first half hour about how he went from on the couch to being the Essendon coach. Impossible to prove the counterfactual, but everything that happened at Essendon in his first stint, I do wonder whether if he'd had a 5-year apprenticeship somewhere else, and he spoke about last week on Footy Classified about that he didn't have the attention to detail that was necessary as a senior coach, and he's learnt from that. I wonder whether that 5-year period would have served him well.
Oh, it would have helped him enormously. I think the job is so big nowadays. It's almost getting to the stage where you almost need two or three genuine senior coaches all sharing the load. And people might laugh at that comment, but I've just seen coaches get pulled from in every direction trying to facilitate all the stakeholders involved with that football club, let alone coaching a team, coaching their other coaches, dealing with high performance, dealing with the mental side of the game, which is getting even more and more evident these days. It's such a huge job. You need to make sure that whoever you're appointing as your senior coach is more than capable and done a really strong and long apprenticeship.
Just look at this then. Sydney Swans at the moment, Dean Cox, senior coach.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Goodwin, director of coaching and performance. They've also got Leon Cameron in the background helping out. And they've got John Longmire still in the building to help out. So they've essentially got, three senior coaches. They've essentially got four all pulling in the right direction. And lo and behold, they're in the top two and playing really well.
I think having that senior assistant too, who's been there, done that, doesn't want a coach as well, to be there for that support of a younger coach, if it's a younger coach or whether it's a coach who's a little bit older in their time. But just having that support network around the coach is really important because it's an isolating job.
Do you know who's trying to find a coach at the moment? Your football club, Murph. The Blues, they've got a really good caretaker, bit of momentum up for Josh Fraser, who's now 3-0. But coaching panel's been put together by the Blues. They've got their chief executive on it. They've got their president on it. They've got their footy boss on it. And Adam Simpson is there as well as a premiership coach. He was a consultant to Michael Voss and to the coaches at the Carlton Football Club. So he's on the payroll. It's caused a little bit of consternation, it must be said, that Adam Simpson, who still harbours ambitions, as he said publicly, to be a senior coach one day, is now going to be hearing interviews from the best coaches in the landscape about auditioning for a job, and he's going to be collecting that IP. So I asked Chris Davies about this the other night, the footy boss at Carlton. This is what he had to say.
I think, honestly, that's been overplayed well and truly over the last day. Adam's been clear to us that he doesn't want to coach right now, and we accept him on his word there. So I can't imagine that anyone who wants to be part of this process is going to have an issue with presenting to Graham, myself, or Adam as part of the process.
So Chris Davies says no big deal. Troy Chaplin, who is one of those assistant coaches who could very well be in the mix, having been a caretaker last year at the Demons, what does he think about Adam Simpson's presence?
I think that's one of the first questions you ask, is are you going to coach again? Because
Yeah, you're right. Like your own IP, it's interesting because you don't want to give it out too much, but you also understand that that's part of the process. So you have those conversations with Adam and Carlton. And to be fair, like they might go, well, we're not actually interested in you. So until that question comes about or I'm in that moment, you sort of don't really worry about it too much. But it's, I think it's a fair question you ask in terms of, does someone take your IP if they've still got a passion for coaching? But until that actually comes to pass, then you just don't worry about it too much.
Big deal, no big deal, Murph?
I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think these younger coaches who would be going through this process, if they're worried about their IP being stolen from Adam Simpson, I think they're a long way off it.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's a little bit of a big deal, yeah.
Yep.
Not a massive deal. It's somewhere between a molehill and a mountain.
And I reckon it's down below, there's the bottom end.
There's a bit of scope to that.
There's a long scope.
What's going on with the Blues at the moment? How all of a sudden they, no great shakes under Michael Voss. He departs. Now they've won three in a row. And Josh Fraser's got them humming.
Yeah, I think he's made a couple just subtle changes by just getting a few more players to go through that midfield mix and just giving some more exposure to an Ainsworth and even a Jagger Smith. But I think they're playing a bit more of a shorter game and not just hitting it long all the time and putting the ball back into dispute as often. So maintaining the football is something that they've gone to work on. No doubt they probably would have been trying to implement that under Michael Voss, but they've certainly been able to find a way, haven't they, in this first 3 weeks underneath Josh Fraser. And it hasn't been massive changes, but just enough just to give these guys a different look. And they're obviously playing with some confidence and that weight off the shoulders of expectation. And if I miss this kick, is the coach going to be under trouble? I think under scrutiny, I think they've just gone back to basics and enjoying their football.
They're certainly defending with ball in hand, aren't they? Like that slow, as you touched on, the tempo game, sort of slow the game down, which obviously the slower they go, the more it gives them a chance to get into position that, hey, if we turn the ball over in a hurry, we're protected. We've got the numbers back behind us. Yep. So that's so evident, isn't it, immediately, that the clear cause and effect between, hey, we want to do this more, high uncontested marks, more time in possession.
Yeah, and you've got to play the style of game that your personnel, that you've got on your list too, to be able to execute that. And trying to play a quick style of ball movement when you don't have necessarily the really quick players. You look to a Sydney where they play a really quick style of play because they've just got pace off the halfback flank, don't they, and through the midfield. Carlton certainly don't have that, but they're playing to suit what they've got and they're maintaining the football more. And when the ball's in your hands, it's not in the other team's hands, are they? And they can't score.
Mm. Is it time to get the fan base behind Josh Fraser yet and endorse him as their next full-time coach?
I think they would all be certainly well and truly behind him at this point in time, wouldn't they? I mean, they're going to the football games in the last 3 weeks and they're winning and they're playing a style of football which is certainly holding up and holding up against one of the better sides in the comp. I don't think this will alter too much of what they're doing behind closed doors in terms of putting together this process and plan about who's going to be the next senior coach. It only helps Josh Fraser though, doesn't it?
You lived through the David Teague era. Like, when did it get to a point in his run as the caretaker coach? What was that, 2019, where you went 6-5? He then coached the team, obviously, for the 2 years after that. Was there a moment back in the end of the year where you thought, this guy's going to get the job? Like, when did it become apparent that the caretaker was a real chance to lead the team?
I can't remember, to be honest with you, but the last couple of games, it certainly felt like the momentum was certainly on his side. And when the team had gone from getting beaten up most weeks to then turning it around and actually winning games of football and winning some tight games of football, which are really spirit lifters. So I think that's where the board of, and obviously the panel have got to sit back and look objectively on it, take everything into consideration, stick to what the plan is, not buy into it too much. Mm-hmm. But if he keeps on winning games of football, then it's going to be pretty challenging.
You would have been a senior player then. Were you asked your opinion?
I was a senior player then. I didn't get asked my opinion on...
That's pretty senior.
I wasn't captain, no.
You weren't?
Oh, no, okay. I got asked my opinion on what I thought of David Teague at the time and gave my thoughts. I can't really remember. But I was a fan of what he brought as a different style at the time. And the guys certainly bought into what he was pushing out. But that's where it comes back to the panel and who are the people who are in charge of those decisions to look at it collectively and make a call on who's the best person to take the club forward.
We're late for Mad Mondays. It's our Mad Mondays with Murph. If you listen to the show every week, you know the drill by now. What are you mad about from the weekend of footy? 1-300-222-774. That's 1-300-222-774. We've also got the best player debate and our mid-season report card still to come. We've got a lot to jam in the back end of the show. But anything you're mad about from the weekend?
Yeah, not football related. Association football, actually.
Okay.
Christian Volpato.
Yes.
Didn't want to play for Australia. Italy don't qualify for the World Cup. Changed his tune. Wants to come back and play for the Socceroos. Old Bestial Motors, Christian Volpato. I'm not happy with that.
When he puts one on the top right in the net, I think we'll be happy, won't we?
He shared a Snapchat photo when we were eliminated from the last World Cup with laughing emojis.
No.
He didn't.
So I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
This isn't the AFL trade period.
You got to keep your words short and sweet in case you got to eat them later.
But I am mad about in the AFL, people confusing issues with the technology with human error.
Mm-hmm.
Like David Roden not electing to review the decision when the ball bounced off the shin of Ollie Dempsey when he was bundled over, like he couldn't see it clearly. Should have sent it upstairs. I love David Roden. Best smile in footy whenever he signals a goal. But I don't think that's an issue with the technology. I think you can't guard against human error. Like, you just can't. So that is what it is.
You got a Mad Monday for us, Murph? 1-300-222-774, the talkback number. No?
No, I've got nothing for you this weekend.
Typical Carlton. Carlton person. Just,
well, we're up and about. We're three on the trot. The wild card's coming at a perfect time.
Anthony Furchi, who does socials for us, and Jules Hay, who produces the show, they're all Carlton fans. We're surrounded by them.
Do you know what I'm mad about?
It just makes me sick that they're all happy.
I wouldn't mind getting some itinerary earlier than walk in here and just go, Benny, can you just shoot me through the itinerary of what we're talking about for the next hour?
This is what we love to do, just in the hot seat. All of a sudden, got to roll with the punches, as we like to say here on AFL Monday. 1-300-222-774. I got one for you. Again, it's not footy related. Once upon a time, it was baseball caps, right? It's now college merchandise, right? So I was going a little trot around Albert Park Lake, right? If you are going to wear the college merchandise, and I'm going to yell out at you the catchphrase from that college, you need to know what I'm talking about.
So was it?
Yep, running past.
Which college?
Running past a woman yesterday. She had an Alabama hat. So I yelled out, Roll Tide. She looked at me, had no idea what I was talking about. But you see it with people like Texas Longhorns. You say, Hook 'em Horns, you do the logo. They look at you like, I have no idea who you are. Or SCO Ducks or OH or whatever it turns out to be. If you're going to wear the merchandise, you got to have an idea on what you're wearing. It's the same with the baseball caps. You're like, oh, Aaron Judge. Geez, he's hitting some dingers at the moment. Everyone looks at you and thinks, who's this guy talking about? Who's Aaron Judge?
I think people here, they wear all the American merch and have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Kills me.
Yeah.
Kills me. Just get enough to get by. Like, just the catchphrase.
I would love to see you run around Albert Park and just yelling out catchphrases to people. We're wearing merch.
We caught eyes and I thought, Alabama hat. I was like, Roll Tide. No idea what I was talking about.
I've got one for you. Half and I were doing the podcast yesterday. If you're not listening to the ABC AFL Daily podcast, you're missing out. 5 drops a week, wherever you get your podcasts, all vastly different flavours. So it's excellent. But I asked him about who is the best player in the game right now. We've been debating this all year. You two in favour of Nick Daicos, me of the Bont. He gave a different answer. I asked for his top 5. This is it.
Well, here's my top 5 from 5 to 1. Butters, Pickett, Daicos, Bontempelli, Heaney.
Heaney won.
Yeah, I've had him there for a month. I've been big on him all season long. This is it's nice that you're on board finally and you're coming with me. I think he's the maximum damage player. 32 and 5. No other player does that, but he does this often. He'll have 30 and 3 and he'll have 25 and 4, and this is what he does. So I'm all for guys getting a lot of the footy, but if you can't hit the scoreboard, if you want to be a superstar of the game and crown the best player in the competition.
Do you agree, Murph?
I reckon I could have kicked 5 against Richmond on the weekend.
No. Right now or when you're in your prime?
Right now.
Not right now. No, look, he's probably out of sight, out of mind a bit because we're down here and they're up there. But yeah, he just keeps on putting up big numbers. And what Half is right on, he's a midfielder. He gets his 30, but he kicks multiple goals on most occasions that he's playing. So he's certainly up there with the most damaging players in the competition. Luke Jackson, I know I'm not going to mention what his nickname is, but he's one that is certainly well and truly right up there in my books.
Wow.
Where do you have him, Ben?
No, I've got Bont 1 by probably a nose. just ahead of Nick Dacos.
He's hero.
He's my hero, Bond. I love him. He's my favourite player. I'm allowed to. I saved his dog. I'm allowed to crack jokes like that. I've probably.
See, Paddy Cripps couldn't have been much better than the last 3 weeks, could he?
Yeah, but he had a little down period before that. They're my top two anyway.
Okay,
that's
I feel like Isaac Heaney, he's the human embodiment of what the Swans are living at the moment. That unfortunately, no matter what he does and no matter how much he beats up on teams like Richmond, if he can't get it done when it matters the most, it feels like, what does it all count for? And that's what we're saying about the Swans with regular season wins. His last two grand finals, 14 disposals and 11 disposals. For a guy that's a superstar of the competition, well, make no mistake, but he didn't bring it on the biggest day of all.
That's case closed for Daniel Harford then.
He didn't.
So he shouldn't have been in the top five after those two grand finals, but I haven't played in a grand final. So
didn't.
He's had 25 more touches than me in a grand final.
And that's what you and I have in common. Zero grand finals for me as well. 1-300-222-774, the talkback number. Michael from Tasmania on our Mad Monday segment. What have you got for us, Michael?
Oh, it's your favourite St Kilda supporter.
Oh, Michael. Be like Mike. What's going on?
Listen, I'm sick of the St Kilda pile-on. We played terrible on Thursday night. There's no question about that. It was our fourth game in 19 days. Two of those were interstate. We had 3 to 4 of our best six forwards out. We had our best player out and a really important defender in Howard. No team, Geelong, anybody, wins with that amount of players out of their side in an important game. Having said that, and the amount of money that's been spent is an irrelevance. Like, every club has the same amount of money to spend. We choose to spend it our way. There are 53 players in the AFL paid over $1 million, according to the AFL. I bet there's a few others in there that are escaping this analysis.
The point is, though, Michael, I guess my concern with that would be is you are spending it your way, but is it the right way? Because at the moment, 0-6 against the top eight and 5-1 against the bottom 10.
Well, let's reassess it at the end of August. You know, we have got a lot of games coming up at Marvel. Having said that, I thought they were poorly coached. You cannot beat teams like Hawthorn or Geelong if you let their intercepting defenders like Sicily or Stewart run rampant. You have to be better than just think that it's going to happen. So Sicily has, 30 possessions and 10 intercept marks. Eamon and Impey are running up and down the ground at will. You're not beating Hawthorn. It doesn't matter what Watson and Gunston do. You can't beat them when they do that. No club does. That annoys me that they were out-coached. I think Tarou should have been put onto Sicily. Teach a young boy, just go and mark that man. Just like Voss does now with Fremantle. Put a bit of an aggressive player that Tarou is on him and say, just take him out of the game.
Michael, appreciate your call. 1-300-222-774.
Shrewd, Michael.
Yeah.
He watches closely. I want it to work out for him and St Kilda. I just think there's a few holes in the way that they're going about it.
Okay. He makes some good points, though. The last 19 days, they've had a really tough ask going up to the Northern Territory over west, missing some of their most important players, their best player as well. Having said that, they were terrible in that first quarter and a half. Yep.
The good news is Ross Lyon tells me that they want to be a no-excuse football club.
There it is.
Leave no alibi.
They're just winding him up.
Didn't take too long.
What happened to anywhere, anytime, Ross?
Didn't take too long.
Some of the time, in some conditions, in some places.
We got unicorns to get to. Yes. Mid-season report card, as you saw on the rundown, Murph, that you were provided the minute you walked into the studio. This is our mid-season report card. So the buys are scattered over the next 5 weeks. Four teams, two teams, four teams, four teams, four teams. So what we're going to do is our one word. I've actually got two words for one of these teams. But one word analysis on what we've seen from them for the season so far. So Adelaide, what's your one word, Ben, when it comes to the Crows about where they're at, how they're going?
Slow. Ooh. Slow start and have played slow, like in the way they've moved the ball.
Have you got one, Murph?
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
He picks this up.
Yep.
Picks this up, pretends he hasn't
And not all due to their own fault too. They've had a lot going on with obviously their skipper missing quite a bit of football and the impact that does have on the locker room as well. But they've just been almost, haven't they? But they've been on that roller coaster.
Unproven is my word for the Adelaide Crows. Port Adelaide?
I've got a hyphenated word, pear-shaped.
Not bad. Don't mind it.
Defence for me. So third best defence in the competition, something to hang the hat on.
Almost. They've almost been there. They've had quite a few really close games, which could have been a very different tale so far.
They have. They've been a 2-point loss, a 3-point loss, a 1-point loss, and another 2-point loss. So four games by 3 points or less. North Melbourne?
I got another hyphenated word.
Yeah.
East-West. I'm not sure they're heading north. I think they're just level with where they've been recently.
Plateaued. So very similar to what Ben is saying.
That would have been better.
Yeah. They haven't done enough for mine from being what I think they should be able to achieve this year.
Layup for me. It's been soft draw. They're exactly where they should be, 5-6. They beat the Suns, but they lost to the Eagles, so that's about where they should be. And the Gold Coast?
Same.
Unsure.
Yeah, mine's two words. Murderer's Row. If you look at their schedule coming up over the next few weeks, they used to talk about the Yankees batting lineup in 1927 about Murderer's Row with Gehrig and Ruth and so on and so forth. How about this for a run for the Gold Coast Suns? This will sort them out. Brisbane at Carrara, Geelong at Cadinia Park, Hawthorn at Carrara, Fremantle in Perth. That's as tough a 4 weeks as you can possibly get.
Now, Murph, I've got a present for you tonight. I know you're quite a fashionista. You dress always smart and well. I've actually got this for you. Unicorn shirt, which I've had produced. I'll just stand up for the cameras in the studio. So
is a black shirt that's got all the unicorn, the colours of the rainbow, and the guys that have been dubbed unicorns on it.
So for anyone who doesn't know, I've been waging war on unicorns in the AFL. Too many players are being called a unicorn. So pictured on it.
Who's the bloke on the bottom left?
That is Nathan Kruger. Okay. Nathan Kruger was labelled a unicorn on our own VFL coverage here on the ABC, which I was offended by. Ethan Reed, Luke Jackson, who I think is the consensus unicorn now.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed Luke Jackson being like the head on that horse.
There's a blessing of unicorns
we've
on
got
the shirt.
Mark Blitzarves. We've also got, Sam Darcy and Riley Thilthorpe pictured on the shirt. So these will be available in all of your favourite ABC stores. I don't think
I was about to say,
I actually quite like the shirts. I've been waging war. We had a couple from the weekend. Have we got time?
We do.
For those who don't know, Josh's athletic profile is really unique. He's a bit of a unicorn.
McVee got the handball out to Warner. Back to the unicorn in Jackson.
Jackson, you know, the unicorn of unicorns. Picks it up. Big fella, so mobile. Great kid, great goal.
Is that an Acker unicorn?
Yeah, that's an Acker unicorn. The first of those, though, was the Richmond Talking Tigers podcast.
Wow.
Josh Smiley hasn't even played.
Josh Smiley's a unicorn. He's a hidden unicorn.
Kidding me? I'm putting this on.
Thanks to Jules. Thanks to Ferge. Thank you, Murph.
Good on you, boys.
Up the baggers. The Fraser Freight train's up and moving. That was AFL Monday. If you want to listen live, you can do so streamed through ABC Listen every Monday night from 6:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time. And you can also contribute live to the program. Talkback number 1-300-222-774. Don't forget, right here on ABC AFL Daily tomorrow, I'll be joined by the Footscray heartthrob, self-proclaimed Bob Murphy, who will join me to pull apart all the key talking points out of the agenda-setting shows that happen in the world of footy. So that's tomorrow, right here through ABC AFL Daily.